control now to Niederreiter. Niederreiter stops at the point. Lines it behind the net. Oh, one for Petrova, and he scores! What a pretty setup! Sebastian Aho behind the net, and Teuvo Teravainen didn't wait long to score a career goal, 101. Canes go up 1-0. Oh, rips when he scores! Off the draw! Ian Cole gets his first as a Carolina Hurricane, and it's a 3-1 lead. Now an opportunity creates itself. Trocheck scores! The play was made by Nino Niederreiter. Vincent Trocheck picks up the loose chains and puts it in the piggy bank. It's 4-1 Carolina. Now a stretch pass. Away comes Brett Murray. Robs Murray, and then Cousins forks the rebound wide. Opportunity. It's Niederreiter. He's in. He scores! Nino Niederreiter on the forehand through the five hole. And it's 5-1 Carolina. That's up. Olofsson back to Dahlin across the middle stack. Now Dahlin. No lane given. He's bothered by Stahl. Back to Olofsson. 2 seconds left on the power play. Dahlin sends it across. Ripped by Thompson. Shot in front.
This is the Canes Corner Podcast with host Adam Gold, presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. The Canes Corner Podcast is part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here's your host, Adam Gold.
Welcome to the Canes Corner Podcast. I am Adam Gold. How you doing? Canes lost Corsi, won the game. Maybe that's the plan going forward, huh? Outshot, outchanced, certainly not outplayed. Statistically, Buffalo probably feels pretty good about it, but we watched it on the ice. Carolina was the better team, and they pick up a 6-2 win. That's right, 6 goals. Carolina scored 5 in their last, 3 games? And 6 tonight. Makes a lot of sense, hockey, doesn't it? We're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. There's no place like it. So why don't you go check them out online for a free no-obligation estimate for, let's say you need windows, entry door, storm door, roofing, all there, aluminumcompany.com. So the Canes were in need of a slump buster for the offense, not for the way they were playing. And we can discuss how they were playing. Played really well against Ottawa. Got nothing out of it. I didn't think they played as well against Dallas. Got nothing out of it. I thought they played very well for the most part against Washington. A couple of unfortunate breaks. Didn't get anything out of it. But they needed a win. They needed 2 points tonight. And they needed to see the puck go in the net. And that is exactly what happened. So the Hurricanes were not better than they were the other night, but maybe Buffalo was also not better than Ottawa the other night. Ottawa, by the way, beat Colorado tonight, 6-5. You go figure that. I watched Ottawa. Ottawa ain't that good. They are not that good. They needed 2 own goals from Carolina to win that game. Speaking of own goals, we had one tonight. But we will talk about it. Canes were the better team tonight. Not better than they were Thursday again, but they were the better team tonight in a 6-2 win. 16-6-1 on the season. And think about it. We have been well documenting the offensive travails of the Teuvo Teravainen's, Vincent Trocheck's of the world. And to me, those were two of the three best players tonight. Vincent Trocheck was going to be the first star, and then a bizarre bad call, I thought, had him out for, you know, the last, what, 2 minutes of the third of the second period and the rest of the entire third. So he played under 10 minutes tonight. But to me, he was the first star, and I put him on the put him as the first star. I just wish that in the building they had the cojones to make him the first star so he could come out, maybe have to put his skates back on to come out and take a little twirl, then get the hug from Jacob Slavin. We missed the hug, and we missed Vincent Trocheck as the first star. Anyway, Trocheck, a goal, two assists. He was a plus three tonight for Teravainen. He had two goals, both assisted by Sebastian Aho. He was a plus five tonight. 12 shots on goal the last two games for Teravainen, numbers 5 and 6 on the season. Aho had three assists tonight, so he's now he now has 5 assists in his last two games. Been pretty good. Nino Niederreiter, I thought, was very good tonight. He had a goal, had an assist, really made the play. Didn't get anything on the Trocheck goal, but really made the play with just pressure on the puck, and it ultimately ended up in a turnover deep in Buffalo's end. That leads to the Trocheck goal. But Nino had a 2-point night and a plus four. Martin Natchez had the wrap chance, the wrap goal, which we would have played, except Mike Maniscalco, who did a fine job on that particular goal, called it, as we all thought on the ice, that it was a great save by PK Subban. Then when we went back and watched the replay, I'm like, wait a second, that puck went in. I don't know if you can recreate that. I probably should have seen if he had done that, but we didn't use it in the highlight package. Natchez played well, the wrap goal. And Ian Cole gets his first goal as a Carolina Hurricane. In retrospect, I wonder if Ian Cole should have gotten a star. Cole had a goal, played 19:02. He had 4 hits. He also had an own goal. Second straight game with an own goal. Can we keep own goal scoring streaks? Ian Cole has 2 games in a row where he has scored in his own net. Not the kind of thing you want to say, but frankly, after a loss, funny. So, yes, three own goals in a 4-period stretch for Carolina. The 2 against Ottawa and 1 in the first period tonight, right at the end of the period, too. It could have been a disaster if Carolina wasn't significantly better than the Sabres. Jacob Slavin, another good night. He played just over 20 minutes. He didn't have to play a lot in the third period. I'm a little concerned about Brady Shea. Shea played 8:28 of the first period and 10 minutes the rest of the way. He did not play a ton in the second period and obviously did not play a ton in the third period. Jalen Chatfield, another strong game. Really, 3 games he's played for the Hurricanes. I think he has been very good in all 3. Like Chatfield tonight, 19:20, had 4 hits. Has some offensive upside, I think. I think he's just a good player. And it will not bother me if Jalen Chatfield hangs around. And we'll talk about why he might hang around in a second. Carolina had their first shorthanded goal. That was Teuvo Teravainen. And we'll talk about all of it. We'll also talk about the fact the Hurricanes are 3rd in the division still. Washington beat Columbus today. The Rangers beat Chicago, and the Hurricanes win. Washington has 36 points in 25 games. The Rangers 35 in 23, and the Hurricanes 35 in 23. By the way, Florida won tonight. They beat St. Louis in a shootout. Tampa Bay also won. They beat Boston, I believe, in Boston in overtime. So the cream of the crop all winning today in the Eastern Conference. All right, let's go through some of the things that I thought were interesting. We'll talk about certain situations with Alec Campbell in just a couple minutes. Let's just talk about the first goal, which I thought we'll try to go through the goals because I think the goals were significant today because they really were team efforts. And in the first period, to me, Carolina had two 200-foot goals. The first one is Jalen Chatfield hunting the puck down in his own end. He gets it to Aho, who carries it out. I think when Chatfield picked up the puck, he was probably, 15 or 20 feet inside the defensive zone and just kind of chipped it to Aho. Aho brought it out, of the defensive zone into the neutral zone. He leaves it for Nino just inside the blue line on the left side, and then Nino sent it in deep. And Aho went behind the net, and he fed his bestie for the first.
Aho in control now. To Niederreiter. Niederreiter stops at the point. Lines it behind the net. Aho in front for Terravine, and he scores! What a pretty setup! Sebastian Aho behind the net, and Teuvo Teravainen didn't wait long to score a career goal. 101. Canes go up 1-0.
And it was a really good play by Chatfield to Aho, and then pretty much 200-foot goal. The second goal was the same way. Max Lajoie chipped it from the corner. Vincent Trocheck brings it up the left wall. A little bit of duress. So he lofts it out to Seth Jarvis, who was just outside the zone in the middle of the ice, and he sort of whacked at it. My initial thought was that he batted it out of the air, but that puck, he almost caught it on the short hop, a little bit of a bounce, but he made a perfect pass. Whether that was luck or not, I have to assume it was, because I don't think anybody would try that on purpose, but he just whacked it over to Natchez, and Natchez kind of, this is what he does. When he's going to do that wrap, he will deke a little bit to the inside, so the goalie has to commit to give him just something else to consider. And then Natchez went around, and Subban almost got back. He got the paddle back, but he couldn't get there all the way in time, as it turned out. But I think the goal really was the fault of Rasmus Dahlin. And remember, if Andrei Svechnikov, who did not play tonight, they would have had the first three picks in that draft, in the 18 draft, on the ice tonight, had Svechnikov not drawn in. He has a finger issue, and Andre did not play tonight. I think they expect him to play in Winnipeg next week as the Hurricanes start a five-game road trip. Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, and then Minnesota. There are some really good teams on this road trip. It's going to be a difficult trip. Winnipeg is in a little bit of a funk right now, but Winnipeg is good. But we've seen Natchez do this. Natchez is, he's got that kind of talent and that kind of speed, and that is his signature at this point. Like Svech and the lacrosse goal, Natchez and the wraparound goal, these are great. In between those, Buffalo scored a goal. So we thought. Victor Olofsson was at the side of the net, and a shot just came through from pretty deep out, and it hit Ian Cole. It was Henry Jokiharu. It hit Ian Cole and bounced past Antti Raanta. Second game in a row with an own goal for Ian Cole. That wasn't the Olofsson play. Or maybe that was the Olofsson play. I don't know. And then Victor Olofsson actually skated one in. That was the goal at the end of the period. Sorry about that. Then Victor Olofsson, in between the first two goals for the Hurricanes, off of Olofsson's skate and in, but it was waved off because it was clearly a kicking motion. And you're not allowed to kick the ball or kick a puck in hockey. You can in soccer. So maybe Olofsson was going back to his soccer days. But it remained 1-0 Carolina, then it was 2-0, and then right at the end of the period, the own goal off Ian Cole credited to Henry Jokiharu, and it's 2-1. Then we go to the second period. Another early goal. This one was Ian Cole in the correct net.
Oh, rips when he scores! Off the draw! Ian Cole gets his first as a Carolina Hurricane, and it's a 3-1 lead.
It happened pretty quickly. Vincent Trocheck wins the faceoff right to Cole, who just let fly, hit off the inside of the right post, and passed Malcolm Subban. That made it 3-1. 24 seconds later, it was another goal. Nino Niederreiter did a great job fighting for a loose puck, and Vincent Trocheck finished it off.
Now an opportunity creates itself. Trocheck scores!
so that was a great stretch. As a matter of fact, with they didn't even have time to announce the Ian Cole goal in the building. So Minter, the PA address, PA guy, who jumped the gun on one minute remaining in the period at the end of the first period, I believe it was. It was just absolutely brilliant, and he hung his head in shame. It was fantastic. But he didn't even have a chance to announce the Cole goal when Trocheck scored. So he was just catching up. So after they restarted play, after it was 4-1, then Minter announces the Cole goal from Trocheck, and then the Trocheck goal ended up being unassisted. And that's one of those play where Nino Niederreiter he made the play in the offensive zone, fighting for a puck, which he never touched, so he can't get an assist, but he forces the turnover. It lies there for Trocheck, who just punched it over Malcolm Subban for 4-1. Buffalo did ultimately score. Actually, the Hurricanes made it 5-1. Sebastian Aho picked up a loose puck in the neutral zone that was jarred loose by good defensive work by Jalen Chatfield. This is another play that Chatfield made just inside the blue line. Aho brings it out. He finds Nino across the ice, a little diagonal stretch pass, and Nino comes in, and he beats Subban between the pads. And here's the other thing. That's another mistake by Buffalo's defense. Colin Miller, the defenseman on the play, he could have just easily just checked Nino off the puck. He was there. I mean, he's legit there. And he tried to go for the puck. And I don't know why you have these things have to be taught, but apparently they do. You have a chance, just check the guy off the puck. You could have just, driven him to the ice. But he didn't. Nino finds the five holes, 5-1 Carolina. Buffalo scores at the end of the period on a five-minute major penalty that we'll talk about with Alec Campbell here in a couple of minutes. We'll let Trocheck explain it.
I mean, I saw the replay, and I guess you have to call the penalty. I definitely don't think that it was a five was warranted. I felt bad that the outcome, obviously, I was glad he came back out and he was okay. We were both skating neck and neck. I was right on him the whole way up the ice, and then he cuts back, and I didn't have any time to react, and he just kind of turned back right into me. So it looked bad, and glad he's all right, but I didn't think that it was a five in a game.
And here's the thing. I agree with Trocheck. Like, you do have to call the penalty because Tage Thompson was basically, along the wall, and Trocheck kind of came at him from a difficult angle. But really, it's not a penalty at all if Thompson doesn't turn back into Trocheck. But, to me, 2 minutes is fine. 5 minutes and a game misconduct? Are you kidding? That doesn't make any sense. And on top of that, and this is what really bothered me more than anything, was, I get it, you call the penalty. So Jeff Skinner is not involved in the play at all, but he sees what happens. So he's going to come over and defend his teammate. He jumped. He skated over from like 25 feet away and jumped on top of Vincent Trocheck. How is that not a penalty? I just didn't understand that. Did not understand that at all. Anyway, Zagnut Gergensen. I'm obviously making this up. Zemgus Gergensen's scores on a deflection goal to make it 5-2 right before the end of the period. But Carolina on the still has 2:47 to kill of the five-minute major. And Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen did it again.
Now back to Dahlin. He can't handle it. Turnover. Aho, shorthanded breakaway. In on Subban. Aho shoots Subban with the save. Second opportunity to score! Aho to Teravainen. Shorthanded. And the Canes take a commanding 6-2 lead on the first shorthanded goal of the season for Carolina.
That was a good play. Bad play by Rasmus Dahlin, a lost control of the puck. and a worse play by Casey Mittelstadt, who just leisurely, he must have, maybe he thought his girlfriend was going to be on the ice. It was just a casual skate around for Casey Mittelstadt. I mean, I guess your team's getting drilled. It's easy to get discouraged, but the only reason why Turbo was able to score that goal was because Buffalo's defense, or lack thereof, just presented zero resistance for Teuvo Teravainen. Shame on Casey Mittelstadt, who's a young player, was a high draft pick, and has not yet panned out, but that was poor play. So Rasmus Dahlin, I actually didn't even mention this before, but I will. On the Natchez, actually, I did mention it. On the Natchez rap chance, Dahlin was lazy getting over. Maybe I didn't. Subban almost came out to make the, came around, across to make the save. But if Rasmus Dahlin, who I'm sure has watched film of Carolina, if Rasmus Dahlin had simply continued to skate across the across in front of the net, as Natchez had made the decision to go back around for the rap chance, Dahlin had plenty of time to get across and get his stick in the way. But because he didn't, he stopped for just a half second, he was behind the play. So Dahlin made two poor defensive plays. Actually, one was in the offensive zone, Casey Mittelstadt was lazy, and the Hurricanes benefited. It's okay to point this out. What, Carolina doesn't have to be awesome every play, although they did score six goals tonight, and they had good performances from Teuvo Teravainen, Sebastian Aho, Vincent Trocheck, Nino Niederreiter, Martin Natchez, Ian Cole, very good. And Antti Raanta was good. Raanta made a bunch of saves tonight. I think I had 32 saves. And remember, one of the goals was an own goal. The other was a deflection. Nobody's beating him with a shot. And the other night, Raanta had two own goals. So good for Antti. Real quick, the reason why Antti Raanta played tonight. And I'm not entirely sure that Raanta felt well, because when I talked to Rod Brind'Amour before the game, he intimated that there were a lot of people who weren't feeling well. And, of course, we've already had this COVID thing pop up with Ethan Bear, now with Brett Pesce and Tony D'Angelo. And Ethan Bear played about 12 and a half minutes tonight, so good for him to get back in the mix. But with Freddie Anderson not feeling well, he wasn't even on the bench. Freddie Anderson stayed back in the locker room. They didn't want him sitting on the bench. Out of an abundance of precaution, I guess. Abundance of caution. So Raanta played and played very well, I thought. There were a couple of moments where maybe he lost control of the puck or didn't necessarily play something perfectly. I think more often than not, Raanta's issues tonight were handling the puck and communicating with the defense. But I thought he played very well tonight. So good for Raanta, who got a second straight start. Who knows? If Freddie feels well, he'll get the Winnipeg game. And if not, Antti Raanta. This is really why Carolina has two guys who are capable of being number one goalies. Antti Raanta has just had a hard time staying healthy, but he is an excellent, excellent goaltender. So good for Carolina's depth showing through. My man Alec Campbell, Stormwatch, Aftermath, Intermissions, Hurricanes Radio Network. All right, sir. What did you love most about tonight? Ian Cole's own goal for the second straight game. It's a rare streak to have, Alec, to have own goals in two straight. Some people have scoring droughts. Ian Cole takes it to a new level. Or the fact that we didn't have either backup goaltender anywhere near the ice.
I mean, I love the fact that Ian Cole finally scored a goal for the Hurricanes. That was really great. I was happy for him for doing that. The goalie thing, I pointed out at some point during the game, I didn't know where the other goalie was. So I was kind of ahead of the game, I feel like, on that. Where I looked down, because I've noticed, like, in past years, the extra goaltender for the other team sits where they enter their dressing room,
yes,
over there off the ice. But there have been a couple of games recently, and I don't know, maybe there were teams that just were shorthanded and I didn't know it or what, but I've seen the goalie sitting on the bench, the extra goalie. So there, I didn't see a goalie over there. I didn't see one down, off the ice. And I'm going, where the hell is their extra goalie? Especially because Malcolm Subban was 100% Swiss cheese tonight, and I figured they might need their extra goalie at some point. So that was kind of annoying to me that it took that long to get the goalie on the ice. Anyway.
I think Aaron Dell had to get dressed.
Yeah, he might have. Probably didn't have his pads on. How much would that suck, by the way? He's sitting around for 50 minutes and then have to come and play an NHL caliber goaltender for 10 minutes. I mean, it just sounds like an injury.
Right.
Waiting to happen.
And your team is already down 6-2.
Yeah.
Like, just stick a defenseman in there.
Yeah. I remember a time I was playing high school baseball, and we were playing in February, and my coach asked me to pinch hit in, like, the sixth inning or seventh inning or whatever it was. I mean, I was freezing. I was sitting over there on the bench the whole time. I wanted to tell him no.
What'd you do?
I went up and struck out in 3 pitches.
Beautiful. On purpose.
Yeah, I was like, dude. Yeah, I was like, you sent me up here to fail. Like, it was so unfair. Now, unfortunately for Dell, he got forced into it because Subban got hurt.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that would stink. But anyway, I mean, my favorite part of the game tonight was the goals. I mean, I liked all the goals. Goals are good. And I think it's kind of ironic the way things happen, and maybe it just speaks to the finicky nature of the sport, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's what matters. You know, you can, how many times have we said this? You can play poorly and score goals and win. You can play well, not score goals and lose. And for me, it was important that they get 2 points before they go out on the road, but they didn't really play as well tonight as they have in the past. So I don't, you know, depends on how you reconcile with things, you know, as they go out on this road trip, because, you know, had they gone out after last game, I feel like you'd have been like, well, they lost, but they played pretty well. Tonight it's more like, well, they won, but they didn't play as well. Not that they played poorly necessarily, but it just wasn't the same as even Thursday night, I don't think. So it's a little bit weird, but, I mean, you take them obviously when you can get them, and they needed a blockbuster-type game like this. The Sabres are they're terrible too. They're not good.
Yep.
They're now on a 4-game losing streak. They have given up 5 goals or more in, I think, 8 of their last 12 games.
11 of their last 16 games, they have given up at least 5 goals. That's bad.
I mean, so they really needed to get a win over the Sabres tonight. And so I'm glad they did. So we'll see what happens going forward. They also got a bunch of people who are injured and sick and COVID and all this and that. I mean, kind of wild times for the Canes right now.
Yeah, they needed 2 points. They're headed to Winnipeg. Winnipeg's been struggling, but we know Winnipeg's good. And they'll go there definitely without Pesci and D'Angelo. And who knows what else. There were some guys not feeling well tonight. Rod talked about it before the game. The reason why Anderson wasn't on the bench, because he wasn't feeling well. I mean, he could have played. Everybody tested negative twice today.
Yeah.
They do the antigen tests in the morning, and then when everybody comes back in the afternoon, they do it again. So everybody was negative twice today. But that doesn't mean that you won't possibly be positive later. It also is not the only illness you could have. So I think we always need to remember that there are – sometimes you could have a cold. Sometimes you could have a sinus infection, whatever. But there are some guys not feeling well. And then we have the Svechnikov injury, which is apparently independent of whatever illness or bug is going through that locker room, because, again, there are multiple players who weren't feeling well. Obviously, everybody else was good to play tonight, and it was good to see Ethan Bear, but who knows what the roster will look like for this five-game trip, which starts in Winnipeg, goes to Calgary, goes to Edmonton, goes to Vancouver, and then ends in Minnesota. Three of those teams are the best in the West. Calgary and Edmonton are 1-2 in the Pacific Division. Minnesota leads the Central Division. And again, Winnipeg is, I think, good enough to be a playoff team, but they're obviously struggling right now. Vancouver is essentially the Western Conference's version of...
Not good.
Yeah, I don't even know. They're not as bad as Buffalo or Ottawa. By the way, did you see Ottawa beat Colorado tonight? 6-5.
Winning streak.
Yeah, Ottawa's on one right now. Are you serious? Ottawa beat Chicago 6-5 in overtime. That is just absolutely insane.
They beat Chicago or they beat Colorado?
I mean Colorado. 6-5 in overtime. Wow. What a sport. What a sport. All right. We've talked a lot about guys needing to get going tonight. And some of the players that we have talked about, I know Teuvo Teravainen scored the goal against Ottawa. Turbo has two goals. I thought he was great tonight. Vincent Trocheck was dynamite until the penalty. I actually think he was dynamite even after the penalty. 3.9, he was a plus three. Sebastian Aho was great with three assists and a plus three tonight. Nino was good. A goal and an assist tonight, and he didn't even get credit for anything on the Trocheck goal, which he did help to create. So we did start to see some of the offensive players kind of return to what they are supposed to be to help this team put some goals on the board.
Yeah, Trocheck was so good that he was at the podium before the storm, before the aftermath started. It was a champion. I didn't even get to hear his post game because I hadn't even. I was like watching him at the podium while we were in a commercial break.
Right.
So I just had to skip it all together essentially. So I did not hear what he said about the penalty, which I am interested to hear.
All right. Well, I can give you a little bit of a synopsis. Where I already played his soundbite about it. You and I were talking about it because we sit and watch the game together. You had to call the penalty simply because of the hit. But he was like, yeah, I just don't think that was five in a game. And
yeah, I agree.
I mean, to me, I thought, especially when you watch the video, okay, it's worth a two-minute penalty. I got no problem with that. What I didn't understand is how can Jeff Skinner come off the top rope and get nothing?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't even understand that.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
But Trocheck was not happy with the call.
I don't understand because so often they'll penalize two players.
Right.
I don't understand that. I mean, I just don't think it was worth the game misconduct. You know, even if they wanted to give them 5 minutes for that, okay, fine for me. I mean, I understand all the arguments for just two. I'm cool with that. I thought it was really just misfortune the way it all happened. I mean, I think Tage Thompson was he skates into the zone. He realizes he doesn't have what he thought the play that he wanted. So he puts the brakes on. He turns around. Trocheck's already in the act of making the hit. He lowers his head and he gets hit. And it looks bad. The optics of it aren't great, but I'm not sure there was really anything malicious there from Trocheck. I don't think there was. And I think it was as much a product of what Thompson did as it was what Trocheck did. I mean, yeah. A lot of this is similar to what we see in football with the helmet-to-helmet stuff. I mean, you got the offensive players that lower their head after guys are already, in the motion of making a tackle. It's just like it's similar to that.
Yeah.
So I couldn't believe the game misconduct part. If they wanted to give him five, okay, cool. At least he gets to come back in the third period. It's just a real shame for a guy who had 3 points before he got ejected.
Yep.
So, but all of that said, I mean, good for him because he had gone 8 games without even a point.
Right.
So he needed that. And like you say with the other guys too, I mean, now Carolina's got goals in two straight games, got three goals in the last two games. That's good. Martin Natchez broke a six-game goal-scoring drought. Yep. So you're getting some guys back off the schneid, so to speak. Jordan Staal, now what, 16 games for him or something like that?
16 games and without a goal. Jacob Slavin, 23 without a goal.
Yeah.
Ian Cole has more goals than Jacob Slavin.
Jacob Slavin doesn't have a goal this year?
None. Zero.
Huh. Interesting.
yes, sure. It is. I mean,
I'm legit surprised by that.
I am too, because obviously Jacob Slavin's value to this team isn't measured in goals, but you would think he would have lucked into like two. But he has none. He's got plenty of assists. I mean, Jacob Slavin's getting points, not getting a ton of points, but he's getting some points. It's one of those things that is more of a statistical anomaly to me than anything else. He was trying to get Sebastian Aho a goal in the worst way tonight, and Seabass was like, nah, I'm not scoring tonight. Five assists in the last two games for Aho. Yeah, I thought Sebastian was excellent tonight. So,
yeah, I thought it was great, too. Love Sebastian's game.
Who were your stars tonight?
I gave Aho the third star. I gave Trocheck the second star. And I gave Carabino the first star. And you also had some dudes that were heavy pluses tonight.
Yes.
Carabina was a plus +5.
Yep.
I think Aho was a plus +3.
Yep. Nino was a plus +4.
Yeah, Nino plus +4. Shea, I think, was a plus +3 in whatever time he played tonight.
Yeah, speaking of Shea, he led the team in ice in the first period. He was 8:28 of ice time in the first period. He only had 10 minutes the rest of the game. I wonder if Shea was one of those players not feeling great.
Could have been.
So,
could have been for sure.
He also came up
with some kind of injury a few games ago where he had to go back to the room.
Oh, right.
I mean, I don't know whatever came of that, but you know, he potentially has probably some kind of lingering, maybe nagging, you know, injury of some kind.
I think he might have taken a puck or a stick to the mouth in a game recently. But what do you think of Jalen Chatfield, my guy?
I mean, again, I like him. I like his tenacity. I think he hustles. I think he plays hard. He's physical. Basically got into a fight with Zemgus Girgensson on the very first shift of the game. Braver than I would. I would never challenge a guy named Zemgus to a fight. I mean, that sounds like a guy who, you know, trains with Atlas Stones and pulls fire trucks in the off season. So I wouldn't mess around with that.
Oh, he's definitely in a world's strongest man competition.
Yeah, like that guy's like flipping tires and doing wild stuff in the offseason, so I wouldn't mess with that. But, I mean, he calls for the puck. I like that. I like that about him. He hasn't really finished anything yet. But I like his game. I mean, I do. I like it.
He's a pretty good skater. He's got some speed to him. He actually started two goals. He started with good defensive plays, started the first goal winning a battle on the wall, giving it to Aho. And Aho then worked the thing with Nino and Teuvo Teravainen for the first goal. And then on the Nino Niederreiter goal, it was Chatfield's defensive work at the blue line that jarred the puck loose and gave it to Aho, who sent it up to Nino Niederreiter. So made two really good defensive plays. And he played, what did I have him for tonight? 19-20 and four hits. So good on him. You know, it just shows some of the depth that they've got. Some of these, you know, guys who have played in the NHL before getting a chance to play now. And, again, they might be leaning on Jalen Chatfield and Max Lajoie, who played okay tonight too, for an extended period of time. Finally got a shorthanded goal, Alec.
I know it's taken a while. I'm surprised. Didn't they lead the league in shorthanded goals last year?
They were up there. I don't know if they led the league in shorties, but they were up there. They usually are good for 4 or 5 a year. So
yeah, I mean, coming off that the way that period ended in the second, and getting one to start the third, that was awesome. Another awesome goal by them. Rasmus Dahlin misplayed the puck.
Yep.
Blue line, so opportunistic Sebastian Aho gets on a breakaway, gets his own rebound, and then centers for Teravainen. So those guys are like to play each other. What would you say is so special about their chemistry?
Their time spent together in the sauna?
Yeah, probably. You're right.
I think it's all about sauna time. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Good
point.
But, you know, it is interesting that I mean, Aho has chemistry with a lot of players, right? There's chemistry with Natchez. We've seen that before. There's chemistry. It probably has a lot to do with Aho. but he has chemistry with Svechnikov. But those two guys, I mean, they're just the left and right glove. they just sort of go together. I know Rod's always tinkering, and Rod hasn't liked the lines all year long. But it's just never a bad thing, at least for one line, to have Aho and Teravainen on it. So it just, and I liked, we got a chance to see Jarvis play. Nino started the game, but by the end of the game, Jarvis was playing the left side with them. And there's nothing wrong with that line. The only question is, will that line get anything right around the goal? Nino's pretty good around the goal, and he's a big body, and he's hard to knock off his pegs, but I love the fact that Jarvis will play with those guys, but it was just fun to watch Aho and Teravainen play together tonight, and they were obviously very good. And when those guys are starting to play well, and hopefully they'll get Svechnikov back, I don't think Rod didn't seem like that was going to be a lengthy absence, right?
No, it didn't sound like that to me, but who knows what it could be. I mean, look, Svechnikov played great on Thursday night, so it didn't look like there was anything really ailing him. So maybe just precautionary. Didn't sound like it was really anything serious, but
it was a finger.
You never know.
It was finger issue. Rod said he had to get it repaired. Okay. Where do you go to get a finger repaired, Alec?
Oh, I mean, any number of places. There are plenty of people around here that'll fit that'll repair a finger.
Can I go to
a handyman?
Schneider's finger repair. That's probably where you should go.
My next door neighbor is a handyman. You can call him. He'll fix it. He fixes everything. He put bifold doors on my laundry room recently. So if he can do that, he can fix it.
Oh, did he really? Very nice.
Yeah, he's a super cool guy.
Very nice. Does he charge by the day or does he charge by the hour?
Nah, beers. You just have to give him beers.
Really?
With that. Yeah, and sometimes you drink them in his truck with him.
That is even the best.
Yeah. I think I might have told that story on here one time. I came home.
You did. You drank beers in a truck.
He was sitting in his work truck in the driveway drinking, and he just beckoned me over, handed me a 16-ounce Budweiser and an aluminum can. And then aluminum, like one of those aluminum bottles. Yeah.
I bet that was cold.
Oh, super cold. So yeah, so you call him up, he'll repair your finger. You just gotta give him a beer.
One beer? It gotta be more beer for more than one beer for a finger.
I don't know, man. That's all he drinks too. Beer. He doesn't drink anything else. He doesn't drink wine. Doesn't drink liquor.
That's
He's
fine.
Off the hard stuff.
That's fine. I don't. That doesn't bother me a bit. I respect that. But I mean, if I were him, I'd be charging more than one beer for a finger. A finger's worth at least a 12-pack, I think.
Yeah, maybe. So. More than a bifold door, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. A finger versus a bifold door? Although, I don't know, man. The bifold door is probably more complicated than a finger. A finger's just a finger, right? What do you need? On that note, I'll let you end your Saturday evening, sir.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
So before we get out of here, a lot of things going on in the Eastern Conference today. Right now, at the time of recording this, the Penguins have a 3-1 lead in Vancouver at the end of two periods. Penguins, who got off to a great start, then went to sleep for a while, are now back to playing good hockey, and probably has something to do with Sidney Crosby's return. Oh, by the way, Jake Guentzel with a hat trick tonight, all in the first period. All in the second period, sorry. He's now got 13 goals, two on the power play, and one at even strength. So the Penguins with a 3-1 lead on Vancouver after two. Panthers beat the Blues in a shootout. The Panthers are 17-4-3 on the year, best record in the NHL. The Predators beat the Canadiens 4-3 in overtime. There's a lot of extra time in the NHL tonight. The Wild beat the Maple Leafs 4-3 in a shootout. That was a great matchup tonight. Not a division leader, because the Maple Leafs don't lead the Atlantic. Florida does, but the Maple Leafs have been great. The loss dropped them, or the overtime loss, or shootout loss, dropped them to 17-6-2. Minnesota 17-6-1. The Wild have been absolutely dynamite. Tampa won in Boston in overtime. Steven Stamkos, the game winner, 131 in. The Lightning are now 14-5-4. Nikita Kucherov skated today, so he's probably not too far away from coming back. The Bruins are kind of this year. I mean, they're over 500, so that's good. 12-8-1 on the season, but they lose at home to Tampa in overtime. Senators beat the Avalanche 6-5 in overtime. Absolutely amazing. A couple of goals for Brady Tkachuk, including the overtime winner. A couple of goals for Tim Stützle. Josh Norris had his 10th. He is the team leader for the Senators. And Anton Forsberg gets another win, back-to-back wins. Red Wings have been good. They beat the Islanders in overtime. The Islanders have not been good. The Islanders are 5-10-4. 5-10-4, the Islanders. They had that rough start on the road, but it wasn't like they won any games when they got home. I think they lost three or four games right away when they finally did open up their home schedule. Capitals beat the Blue Jackets 3-1. They continue to do their thing. Alexander Ovechkin had his 20th goal of the season. Rangers beat the Blackhawks. I believe that was an afternoon game today. Rangers win it 3-2. Adam Fox, Artemi Panarin, and Ryan Strome with goals for the Rangers. All right, the Hurricanes are off. They will start a Western trip. Or at least a Canada trip, and they will start that, I believe, on Tuesday in Winnipeg, if I have that correct. And yes, they do. 8 o'clock start Tuesday in Winnipeg. They go from Winnipeg to Calgary. Then they have Saturday and Sunday late-night games in Edmonton and Vancouver. I believe those are both 8 o'clock, or rather 10 o'clock starts. Saturday, Sunday, then they finish the road trip the following Tuesday in Minnesota, before coming home on the 16th of December to take on the very good Detroit Red Wings. That's right. That's the next victim for the Hurricanes will be the Red Wings, December 16th. So what's today? 12 days from now. So the Hurricanes have five games to get through. We'll keep an eye on what the roster looks like. We're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. There is no place like it. So if you need something, you need like siding, you need roofing, you need entry doors, storm doors, gutter helmets, aluminumcompany.com, that's where you go get it. Online for a free no obligation estimate. And you can follow the Canes Corner podcast wherever you get your podcast. You can give us a rating or a review if you like. Let us know what you think. We love the feedback. And I appreciate a lot of you people reaching out and letting us know on Twitter at AGoldFan that you like the podcast. I like that you like it. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it. If you didn't like it, we wouldn't do it. So if you want us to keep doing it, just let us know that you like it. Until after the Canes and the Jets on Tuesday, I'm Adam. Bye.
This has been the Canes Corner Podcast with Adam Gold, presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. You can listen to this podcast at WRALSportsBand.com or wherever you get your podcasts.